The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. The Premier League weekend provided even more entertainment. We're going to have a little look at that with Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern before we look at the midweek of Champions League action. The quarterfinals are upon us, all four matches this week, and we'll have a look at that. Are you both well this morning?
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
The red machine carries on, Ron. Usually when we say that means Man United, of course. This year we mean Liverpool. I mean, Tottenham didn't really turn up, but 4-0 against, you know, one of the top six sides. Where did those nerves go that they had against Sunderland?
Well, do you know what? I mean, Derek, you were at that game, and I didn't get that impression, you know. I just got the impression that Sunderland, when they made the two changes late in the game, had their time. In virtually in every game, you know, the opposition has a time. And it was just that period of time. I didn't think, watching it on the box, that Liverpool looked particularly nervous. I thought Sunderland came at them a bit more.
Well, yeah, the players weren't nervous, Ron. It was the fans, the atmosphere. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. every fan was basically bricking it.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't. As Rodgers said, you know, he said the same point yesterday after the defeat at Tottenham. You know, people were saying we were nervous, but we weren't. They just came into it a little bit, but we weren't in any problems. So great to say that, because it eases the pressure. Yeah, if there is any pressure on the Liverpool team, fantastic.
Yeah,
but there is pressure. There's got to be pressure now, hasn't there?
Well, yeah, I guess so, Ron. I mean, obviously, you're the only one of us who will have been anywhere near this kind of situation in your management career. How do you keep the players going? Do you just, because if anything, Liverpool, maybe the run started a little early. Will they start to think, the players start to think, you know, would you one here? Would you a loss? Would you a bad performance or something?
It is now the first time. It'll be interesting to see how they react. I don't think it'll make a hair's breadth difference to me. I think the performances will stay the same, and I think if they don't perform. If they get beat by Man City or Chelsea, they'd have been beaten by two teams that have been at it all season. I don't think it's a question, really, of Liverpool reacting to it. I think there's a match somewhere that they play. They're not going to win all the they got six games left. They're not going to win the last six games. It's whether they win the important ones, the Chelsea and the Man City games.
Mm.
I mean, they're at West Ham, aren't they, weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they might slip up there. You know, when I say slip up, there might be a draw there.
Mm.
I don't know if you... Did I sort of mention... I may have done, I can't remember now, on Friday, about... I had a feeling that Chelsea going to Crystal Palace wasn't going to be a stroll in the park.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, there's got to be one of them along the way.
Yeah.
And then everybody goes, oh, they... Like, I'm reading now where Chelsea can't win the league. Yeah. I'm looking at the table and thinking, well...
It's crazy, isn't it?
I'll tell you
what,
Mourinho,
though, isn't
it? I'm glad you brought that up, Ron, because I think City will win the league, right? I'd love to see Liverpool win in the league. But if I was having a bet now, 7-1 Chelsea.
That's just crazy price, isn't it?
It's like the bookies are believing what Mourinho's saying.
I know.
It's madness. Like, we've seen they're running the Liverpool game apart. It's impossible for them to drop points.
And the other thing, I mean, Derek, in general, the draw is largely forgotten about in betting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's almost like people are forgetting there could be draws in this running. You know, it's not like every... People go, oh, yeah, if they win... Well, there are draws to be had. You know, what if Liverpool take a point out of those two games against their title rivals?
Game over, yeah.
Yeah,
Man City, for argument's sake, going to Arsenal at the weekend... If 3 weeks ago, if you'd have said to Pellegrini, you're going to get a point at Arsenal, he said, I'll take that.
Yeah.
You're going to get, and I see, he said it on telly, you're going to get 3 points at Man U and a point at Arsenal in two away games. You go, well, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And I mean,
exactly.
They could have lost it, couldn't they, in the end?
Yeah. Derek, I was amazed at that price. I was going to come on to it. 4-5 Man City, odds on to win the title. Liverpool 13-8, Chelsea 7-1, Arsenal 66s. And obviously Arsenal kind of clawed their way back into something like the race. Not really, though, because they've got the same games as Liverpool, Chelsea, and are full 7 points behind Liverpool now. So, you know, there's no way those three teams above them are all going to collapse dramatically. Chelsea. I don't understand why City are favourite. I get why City are favourites, because they've got the two games in hand, and everyone says, you know, they're in a better position. But how can City be 4-5 and Chelsea 7-1?
Well, you know, you read
those 2 points behind.
You read those odds and you think, oh God, yeah. Let's have a look where the table is, and the 2 points behind Liverpool with an easier running, and you've still got Liverpool to play.
I know. It does seem strange, doesn't it?
Absolute madness.
Yeah.
There's something about Chelsea, though, that. I don't know. I mean, the strikers take the onus. It's always like they level it at Bar, what's his name, Eto'o and Torres. But I tell you what, I think very often some of those, I think they got a bit of flimsy in midfield, you know. I think one or two of the midfield players are a bit flimsy.
Well, they've gone off the boil, haven't they, now, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and yeah. Do they, you know, yeah, different class when they play at Stamford Bridge. But I'm never surprised when they don't win away from home.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, unless it's playing one of the big teams. I always fancy a Chelsea to do better, say, at Anfield or Old Trafford or I know they said Main Road there, or at the Emirates or anywhere like that.
Yeah.
Than I do. If they got a... Did they get beat at Stoke, by the way?
Yeah.
Didn't they? They got beat at Stoke. They got beat somewhere else. They got beat at Villa.
Yeah.
They got beat by them on Saturday.
Palace. Yeah.
Let me give you the run-ins very quickly for anyone who still hasn't had a bet. And this is the great thing about this title race is if you haven't had a bet yet, there's still maybe a bet to be had. We'll start with the favourites, Man City. They're at home to Southampton next. That's on Saturday, 12:45. Then they've got the away game at Liverpool. They're at home to Sunderland and West Brom. Away at Crystal Palace. Away at Everton. And they finish up with two home games, Aston Villa and West Ham United. So there are a lot of winnable games in there, and you read those and you can see why they are the favourites. As for Chelsea, they have got Stoke at home this Saturday evening, then they're away at Swansea, home to Sunderland, away at Liverpool, at home to Norwich, and then away at Cardiff on the last day of the season. And finally, Liverpool's fixtures, away at West Ham this weekend, as we just mentioned, home to Man City, away at Norwich, home to Chelsea, away at Palace, and home to Newcastle. So I mean, yeah, I guess you'd go Man City got the easiest run in. Potentially Chelsea got the second easiest and Liverpool got the hardest of those, do you think?
No, yeah. Anyway, you give me a grand.
Yeah.
But on any of them, I'm back in Liverpool.
Right, okay.
Would you really, Ron?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because of the home games.
But, hey, not only because of the home games, I mean, those games, that run of games you've just mentioned, forget the big two for a minute.
Yeah.
The others, unless they go right up the ball, all those games you said seem well winnable.
Yeah, West Ham, Norwich, Crystal Palace away, and Newcastle at home, and Newcastle.
They all seem winnable to me for a team, the team with goal scorers in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why sometimes I don't think Chelsea can always win away from home when they're playing inferior people, because they haven't got enough goals in them, I don't think.
Mm.
But Liverpool have, so we look at that. Then how would that affect it if they nick two draws in those two big games?
Well, it puts the onus on City. Then City could easily win it. Liverpool have to beat City, Ron, really. Otherwise, it's in City's hands entirely.
Mm.
You know, I disagree with you. I think City will go to Liverpool, and if they get a draw there, it's job done for them. I think they'll win the league if they get a draw at Liverpool.
And with their players, they're probably capable of shutting up shop to some extent, aren't they?
Or
slowing Liverpool down, anyway.
The sickening thing is that the last day of the season, should it come to that, they've all got gifts.
Yes.
You know, three points for all three teams.
But as we've seen, it doesn't always turn out like that, does it? But it should do. It should do, I guess.
Well, I like the team who can guarantee scoring, and at the moment, I think that's Liverpool.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we've said this before, but you look at the table, one more games than anyone. Obviously, Man City have played two fewer. Drawn five, lost five, so lost as few as anyone else in the league. Scored more goals than anyone. The goal difference is now better than anyone except City's. Three behind City, and City have got those two games. So I mean, everything about them, the two top scorers in the division are Liverpool's, but then City are quite close behind as well. I mean, everything about it, if you're a neutral, Derek, says they're going to win the title.
Incidentally, who beat them? Southampton?
Yeah, Southampton beat them at Anfield 1-0.
Mm. I was just looking at that. I couldn't see who the...
Yeah. One draw and one loss at home all season.
I tell you what, on an aside, how funny is that, what the Sun are doing with Sunderland?
I was going to come on. It's brilliant,
how
isn't it?
How funny is that?
It is very good.
I've just looked at the league. Durland. German teams did the...
It's fantastic, isn't it? Do you know what they banned them for, Ron?
Something about leaking...
They printed the team.
Leaking the team news or something.
They just printed the team that was going to play. I mean, whether it was leaked or it was a good guess or whatever else it was. I mean, fair enough getting banned, Derek. I mean, seems strange.
The daftest thing you can do ever as a footballer, I don't know if it was Gus Poyet's idea or somebody else in some sort of administration, the daft thing you can ever do is go to war with the newspaper.
Mm.
Yeah.
They can't win on that. You can do it otherwise.
Yeah.
You can make sure that there's a good story goes around that they don't get that particular paper. You can always drop something out later on.
Were you conscious of that, Ron? I'm interested as a journalist here. You conscious of doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, to be fair, Derek, I always thought it was a pain in the ass if you fell out with anybody. Yeah. All right, there were people you wouldn't like, but you go, okay, that's by the by. Mm. But there's certainly other people. When I was at Manchester, the best reporter for me in Manchester, there was one or two, Dave Walker and all them, but the best was Peter Fitton. Mm. And Peter Fitton had more stories than anybody. But if you didn't want him to write a story, he didn't write it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And because for every story he missed, he'd get five more scoops.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I always trusted him because he did me column as well, but he was trustworthy. But not only me, John Bond would do that. They'd all trust Fit.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say you got 5 months, did you actually ring him and say, listen, here's a story for you?
No, but if ever he came and he put something on me that I said, well, what I could never do, and I know this sounds, I could never lie to a journalist. If somebody come on and said, Ron, I've heard that you're in for some player. And if there was a grain of truth in it, I'd go, well, possibly. You know, I'd never go, no. Yeah. Because if you sign the player 3 weeks later, and I know managers, I've seen Fergie do it.
At a lower level, Ron, I remember when I was working at the Walsall Observer, I was the sports editor, and we ran a letters page, obviously, and it was you remember a player, well, he was manager then, Neil Martin. You ever remember him?
Oh, yeah, the big centre-forward from Forest.
Yeah. He was manager of Walsall, and all, they were terrible at the time. The letters were all criticising it. And he phones me up and says, you print any more of those letters, you're banned. I said, well, man, this is what people are thinking. You can't ban me for that. Anyway, I got banned. What a
disaster. Derek, if you still went out and did football, like, you know, press conference, you would never get into it either,
God,
would you?
Oh, God, they'd kill me, yeah.
Even the fans banned Derek.
Where were you then, Derek, in the early 80s?
I was in the Midlands then, in the early 80s, doing the Midlands stuff.
Well, had you just missed out when we were at West Brom and all that? I mean, we had
I was there. I saw Brian Robson in his pomp at West Brom before he went to Man United.
That was the one I did with Matty. I did it at his funeral the year before. When I first went to West Brom, I'd come from Cambridge. Matty did a thing, pre-season thing. You know, West Brom are ready to go. You know, they can be good. So the only thing I'm not sure about is the manager in Alplates. That was his line.
All right.
So I've read it and gone, right. So next day I'm going to make my first sign. So I left it till after the Birmingham Mail. Then called the press conference.
Love it.
And he come in there, Matty said, you ain't I've got me in trouble with our bus. I said, sorry, Ray, them out plates, I don't know what to do, really.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
And he looked at me, and we became great mates, like, you know, and he looked at me and went, you.
That is superb. These days, you can't get away with that anymore, can you? No. With the advent of Twitter and all that sort of stuff, and websites, you can do it.
Once their deadline's gone, it's gone, isn't it? Like, you know,
they're done, yeah, basically. Speaking of Deland, which probably will stick, we'll have a quick look at the bottom half of the Premier League. Fulham, another defeat and all but down, 1-8 now. Cardiff 1-4, and that third spot is what everyone's talking about. Sunderland are 4-5 to give them the full title. Crystal Palace 5-2, West Brom 5-2, Norwich 11-4. Hull 16-1, then you get up to Swansea and West Ham 20s. Well done Stoke, by the way. They're officially safe, if they weren't safe before the weekend. 34 points West Ham are on. The first team who were closest to safety, Cardiff, on 26. So you'd think now that West Ham and Aston Villa, another win will do them, or another three draws will do them. Swansea and Hull should creep across the line, guys. Norwich, still a little bit worried, 32 points, but, you know, 6 points is a lot. A big gap now, isn't it, Derek, at this time of the season for Norwich? I guess Palace are the first team in danger, would you say now?
No, I don't think Palace will go down.
You think Palace are all right?
I think it's between the bottom four now.
Right, okay.
You know, Sunderland have got the games in hand. But yeah,
Palace and West Brom have got games in hand on Cardiff and Fulham, by the way. So they've still got a game extra to play.
Yeah. But looking at that, I mean, Sunderland now, I always thought Sunderland would get out of it, but they have got, even if they win the two games in hand, they only just catch up.
Yeah,
they
playing tonight as we speak, aren't they? The Monday night game, they're playing tonight.
They go past West Brom, Derland. It's a German team, isn't it, Derland?
Derland.
I've said all along, I thought the third place would go to either West Brom or Norwich. Now, Norwich are better off than I thought they would be, actually.
Yeah, I don't know where they're. I think they just get a point every so often.
Yeah, I mean,
someone just gives them a point now.
They went away and got tanked against Saturday, didn't they?
Yeah.
And yet they're still...
Yeah, amassed enough points. Yeah, 32 points from the 32 games. Yeah. 1-8. 1-8 drawn on 8.
Let's have a look 16. At the fixtures. But the one thing you get with Crystal Palace is they're scrapping for their lives.
Yeah, yeah. And the manager's definitely got them going, hasn't he?
I mean, West Brom have got the... Out of all those teams down there, the bottom six, maybe even seven with Hull, West Brom have got the best team. Got the best players, but for whatever reason, they don't get over the line.
Yeah, it was an idiotic run on Saturday, wasn't it? To chuck away a 3-2 win, basically, in the manner that they did. That break that they had when four or five players were breaking forward.
He could have kept it in the corner. The
he could have done. He just tried to cross the ball. It was an awful ball, though. I mean, it was just like a pass.
When did that last happen?
Liverpool against Arsenal, John
Barnes.
Correct.
Yeah. Could have kept it in the corner.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. The very, very quick thing. The top four market is an interesting one now. Only because really, Everton play Arsenal, and that could really tighten the gap between the top four and the fourth place team Arsenal and the fifth place team Everton. 3 points, but 4 points behind with a game in hand. Everton, so a win against
play them next week.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a huge game at Goodison. At 1:30 on Sunday, Everton are 11-4 to claim the top four spot. Arsenal 1-4. Then you got Man United and Tottenham at 40-1. Bit massive game that, isn't it, guys? Everton Arsenal game.
I'd be on Everton though at the moment. I think they're better than Arsenal.
Yeah, they seem to be. They seem to have the bit between the teeth, don't they, Everton at the moment?
You know what makes a massive difference, and it will at this time. And I've said all along that's one of the reasons why I went with Liverpool quite strongly early on. No Europe.
Yeah,
do and a half make a difference. I mean, not only in terms of travel, in terms of playing extra games, it also, as a manager, he knows that he's got to get his best team week in and week out and prepare.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, and it might be a Chelsea thing the weekend, you know, where they've got one eye on what's coming up in midweek. You know, that sort of thing, whether that affects the players' thinking and the manager's thinking.
Difficult situation, isn't it, with that Europa League? Because you can imagine... not wanting to cast aspersions on Newcastle, but it looks like they don't want to... They know, they've learnt the hard way that that's a competition you don't want to be in if you can't win it. And it looks for all the world like they're trying not to get in it. Safe and just, you know, the terrible performance against Southampton. You wonder if Man United want to be in it, Ron, don't you?
Well, I posed that question on the TV about that. They've all, we want to be in it. Now, maybe Man United could, you know, they would have a bigger squad and maybe they could get round that. And
just
maybe
play some youngsters in the Europa League.
And they would get half-decent gates, wouldn't they, whoever they play? I mean, they'll get a 40 or 50,000, whoever they play in that. They're never going to drop down to 20,000 in that. So they'll get decent gates. And I could see, mate, but from a... They would be better off doing what Liverpool have been able to do this year.
Yeah, just concentrate.
Just focus on
domestic stuff.
Domestic stuff.
And it's probably going to go down to seventh as well. Europa League. If the bookies are right and Arsenal win the FA Cup, then that'll free up another Europa League place. So it'll go fifth, sixth, and seventh with Man City winning the League Cup as well. Let's have a look at the Champions League then, shall we? First game up, we'll look at Manchester United at 6-1 to win at home against Bayern Munich. 4-9 Bayern. The draw is 100-30 to qualify odds. Bayern Munich 1-8. Man United 9-2. The interesting thing about Bayern Munich's form against English clubs is that they usually come to England and play out of the skin, then go home and leave a little bit to be desired. To be fair, they lost, of course, to Arsenal again, and they've had a few hiccups against English clubs at home. But the job's usually done by then, Ron. I mean, there's people all over the betting world who fancy Man United here at 6-1 because of the price.
Yeah.
I look at the two teams, Ron, and I can't give them a prayer. I would. I think 6-1 is a huge price for a team like Manchester or a club like Manchester, but not this season, surely.
Did Wrexham have any chance against Liverpool in 91?
But this is like the best team in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're not exactly playing a non-league side.
No, true.
6-1. I've got to believe that somewhere along the way, I mean, I've got more of a fancy for a draw, but at 6-1, I'd be tempted. Have Man U ever been 6-1 before in a home game?
No chance. Yeah. Not in our memories anyway. Yeah. Well, maybe yours, not mine.
No, they can't have done even. No. I don't know.
This is probably the biggest test I've ever posed you, Derek. Manchester United at home to Bayern Munich, well, at a price like 6-1.
I know. I mean, people will be. I know what people will be looking at that 6-1. You know, I'm going to write it in the column tomorrow. United the 6-1, and when they see those odds, I know exactly what they'll be thinking. As the zero broken on my keyboard, should be 6-1. I mean, sooner or later, you know, they'll come a price when you think they've got to be back. But I'm sorry, 6-1 ain't it? Let me tell you the golfing class, right? This isn't with Hills, this is with another bookie. The German side, 5-6 to win both legs. You know what United are to win both legs? 100-1. I mean, in a nutshell, that is the golfing class. And, you know, I can't. Even sometimes I look at price and, well, they shouldn't be that big. They should not be. They've got to be back to that price. I can't say that about United because at the moment, they're just a mid-table Premier League side against the best side in Europe, and who keep coming over to England and beating better sides than United. Why wouldn't it happen on Tuesday night? It just won't. It will. You know, Bayern Munich will win.
Yeah.
You know, Bayern Munich is buying money. They were 1-2, weren't they? They're 4-9 now. So everybody, you're saying that people were saying 6-1 United is unmissable, but it's Bayern Munich that keeps shortening.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, Man United have got bigger. They were 5-1 at the when the fixture was announced.
Yeah.
I guess if you're looking for kind of reasons to back that, Ron, I mean, you know, obviously they scored 4 goals at the weekend. You know, they found a little bit of confidence, but did go a goal down. They've kept a clean sheet in 5 of their 8 Champions League games this season. No team has kept more clean sheets. They can't set up to go and take Bayern Munich on here, can they? You know, at their game, they've got to try and set up to stifle Bayern a little bit.
Well, yeah, but they've got to try and get at them as well. You know, I mean, I tell you, I'm on your thinking, a no-score draw wouldn't be the worst result. A no-score draw would be quite a good result, actually, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because, an away goal for Manchester United.
Something might happen away from home.
Can they stop Bayern scoring now?
But I don't think they can set up that way.
14-1, by the way, Ron, 0-0.
I don't think they've got the personnel to play that way.
No.
Bayern have scored at least 2 goals in their last 19 games. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I think Rooney playing up top. I always felt Rooney should be in the number 10 spot dropping off, but I've changed my thinking on that now, particularly for United. I think he's got to play right at the top. Around their back line. And you always feel you might have a chance with him in the team, you know, and I think if you've got somebody that gives you a chance, that's where you're backing. If they were playing with, if they go into it with, say, with Welbeck centre forward and I don't know, somebody else, I can't even think who they might have, like the winger from the Villa or somebody like that, you go, I'm not sure how they can score, but you can score with Rooney in your team.
Yeah.
You know, and he is on the goals a bit at the moment. 6-1 would tempt me, but what's the draw price?
The draw is priced up at 100-30. So that's even that's quite big.
Yeah, I could see a 1-1 draw me.
8-1. Yeah. Can you really? I'm struggling to figure out how they limit. You know, the defensive frailties that we see.
Hang on. You look through the world. You look through football in general. I mean, all right, United by their own standards are ordinary, but they're still not the worst team in the world.
No. I think the problem for me, Ron, is that I've given them so many chances this season, Manchester United. Yeah, and many other people will probably think the same. And why should, I guess my thinking is, why should I give them a chance at going to Olympiacos and they let me down again? Obviously, they made amends at home. Yeah. Why should I give them another chance against the best
Let
team in Europe,
I guess? Let me ask you a question, then. Say at half-time at the Emirates on Saturday, what would you have fancied Arsenal to get back in the game?
No, I'd have backed Man City.
Exactly. So yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, there's always a possibility. I tell you, Bayern Munich wouldn't be unhappy with a 1-1 draw.
They've got an away goal. Yeah, true.
Yeah, if you said to, what's his name, Guardiola now, you come in here and obviously the course of the game dictates. I mean, if they're all over United and then whatever. Don't forget, it's only 12 months ago, you know. They should have knocked Real Madrid out, Man U.
Mm-hmm.
When Nani got sent off and all that, which was scandalous.
Yeah.
You know, they should have knocked Real Madrid out. So, you know, they have got the capability.
Yes.
It's going to be there. They're going to have to give their best performance of the season. But What's to say they can't do that?
Mm.
You know, and their best performances this season, apart from Olympiacos away, have been in Europe.
Well, Ron, they're only where they are now because they were given the easiest group in the world, and then they got the worst team in the last 16 stage.
I mean, hey, I hear all that what you're saying. By the way, where were they in the Bundesliga? What do you call it? Leverkusen? They gave them a couple of pastings, didn't they?
Who, Leverkusen, yeah, but we've seen that they are terrible, aren't they? I mean, Chelsea...
30 points behind Bayern Munich.
So what I'm saying to you, in a way, I mean, Bayern Munich's league form, I mean, I would think Man U would win the Bundesliga.
What?
If Bayern Munich weren't in it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Sorry. I'll qualify that. If Bayern Munich weren't in it.
Well, interestingly, they've got 54 points, Man United, in the Premier League after 32 games. Borussia Dortmind second with 55 points after they've played four games fewer than Man U. But that's an interesting debate.
Another interesting statistic then. David Moyes has lost 13 matches this season. That's as many as Pep Guardiola has lost in 4 years.
Wow.
I mean,
hey, by the way, he has been manager of, like, Bologna and, you know.
But he's been manager of Man United, Moyes. Look what he's done.
Yeah. When you look at... I'll look at some of the other prices around. I mean, the other one, if you can't get... My Bayern Munich can't even mind, like me. And Bayern Munich to win, both teams to score, is 2-1. Bayern Munich to win and over 2.5 goals in the game is 10-11. So that's basically, either them scoring three or more, or Man United getting a goal and then winning 2-1 Bayern Munich. That might tempt a few people in that way. As for goal scorers, Mandzukic 8-11, Pizarro even money, Muller's even money, Robben 6-5, Götze scored plenty in the Champions League this season, 6-5 as well.
Ribery's
5-4.
Do all them play for Bayern Munich?
Cruz 2-1, Schweinsteiger 11-4.
I'd have a go at Robben there. He's only playing against Alex Butner. He'll give him nightmares.
Mm-hmm. And if you think Man United are going to get a goal, I mean, Rooney's 2-1. Welbeck 7-2, Hernandez 4-1, Januzaj 11-2, Kagawa 11. I mean, just when you run down that list, that's what I can't get out of. How many, you know, you always say, well, how many of the Man United players get in the Bayern Munich team?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Not even Rooney or Van Persie, probably.
Yeah.
On this year's form, anyway.
On this year's form, yeah.
Rooney would get in.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I suppose he's the only one with a shout. So, 1-1, Ron, with a big night at Old Trafford to help them along, 8-1. And Derek, you're going?
About Bayern Munich, certainties. Certainties.
Yeah, 4-9. The other game on Tuesday night, Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid. This is an intriguing game, isn't it? 1-2 Barca and Madrid, 6-1. The draw priced up at 3-1. Give us this game maybe 2 weeks ago, and you think to yourself, "Oh, this is Atletico Madrid all over." You may still think that because they are top of the La Liga. After 30 games, they're a point ahead of Barcelona. But Barcelona have obviously beaten Real Madrid, and then really moved on since then as well. Where do you put this one, Ron?
Draw. I think Simeone is the next best thing in Europe.
Right.
You know, if you had a top English club looking for a foreign manager, I think you'd have to be right on the guest list.
Mm.
I think they'll set up there and get a draw, but I got a funny feeling Barcelona will do them back at the Calderon.
Right.
But I fancy that they can set up there and get a draw.
Mm.
Well, I think these prices, Lee, this is priced on reputation and what Hills think the punters over here will do, and they see Barcelona and Lumpon. But these teams have met three times this season.
Yeah.
Every game has been a draw.
Yeah. Two nil nils as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, who'd have thought that with the strikers on show?
Mm.
Madrid are above Barcelona in the league, mm-hmm. and the 6-1. I'm sorry, the odds are skewed. Yeah, I'm going to be on Madrid all day long. Yeah, at the moment, they're a better side than Barcelona, aren't they?
Do you genuinely think they can win there?
Yeah, too right, they can. And Barcelona's record, you know, Ron, in two-legged matches against Spanish opposition, you know, in Europe, is crap. Yeah. They're absolutely crap. I think they've... I'm telling you, in fact, they've lost 5 of their 9 ties in two-legged ties against Spanish opposition.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, the domestic teams work them out basically better than the European teams.
Yeah.
I think Madrid... I mean, I know, I sense that Ron's probably saying, well, you know, they might go for a draw, Madrid, and try and do it in the home leg, but 6-1, it's too big to resist.
Mm. Yeah. There's a little quirky little stat on the red cards. In Champions League history, Barcelona have seen 27 red cards given to their opponents, 9 more than any other side in the competition. Probably played a few more games than most others. Atletico Madrid have played the most games in Champions League history without having been given a red card, 30. So you know, maybe even they'll withstand the dubious red card that often people look at.
That amazes me, really. Mind you, I'm going to say that amazes me because I always associate Atletico with having a few amateurs in the team.
Who was that?
I never told you the story about him. Derek, when I went to Madrid, he'd been battered. His leg was in half. I think that cost me the job in the end. Because we're playing Celta Vigo. We've just gone to Valladolid and beat them. We won at Murcia, Valladolid, and then we're playing Celta Vigo. Nobody had beaten Valladolid on their own ground. We beat them 1-0. So we're coming back to our ground to play them. On the Friday, to play Celta Vigo. On the Friday, the president, we used to have a meeting at his office on a Friday night and go in there. And all of a sudden, his man says, "The president would like to ask you to do him a favour, but he's too shy." I went, that's like somebody saying Corleone was frightened to spit on the floor, something like that. So he's gone. I said, "Go on then." Now, just before I got there, he'd sacked 4 players, including the captain. He just sacked people. He sacked 4 players for some reason. Now, they're good players as well, as it happens. So what had happened, before I arrived there, they'd had a doctor at the club for 25 years. Who had said one of the things they'd sacked him. And one of the things he'd said was, "Goycochea will never play again." Now, the court case was the day after we're playing Celta Vigo. So he says, then the president's man's gone, because he's got this court case coming out, and it would help the court case if you were to play Goycochea. And I burst out laughing. Yeah. He couldn't limp. You know, honestly, he was absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
So I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do," because we used to have 6 subs then. I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do if it helps. I'll put him on the bench and he can limp up and down, but he ain't got a cat in hell's chance of coming on." You know? And in actual fact, I think that was the last time I spoke to the president.
Oh, great. And you were sacked soon after?
We played, drew no score. I came home. We got a fortnight off. I came home. And I'll tell you how the meeting had gone as well. I'd seen 2 lads playing for German sides, Klinsmann and Hassler, and the chairman was asking me about who he should buy. I said, "Well, they would be great players to buy." Where was he? He was at Hassler was at Cologne, Klinsmann was at not Frankfurt. I'm trying to think, one of the slightly lesser teams. I can't think where he was at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, "You know, if you can get them in, they'd be brilliant." So anyway, I come home. And next day, Colin Addison's my number 2 rings me. He says, "Ron, they've just offered me a job. What do you think?"
You should have played Goycochea, Ron.
Derek, it wasn't a question of him being slow, but he was limping.
Yeah.
Honestly, he looked at me and said, no way in the world.
Just a couple more little stats revolving around Messi. Scored 67 goals in 84 Champions League appearances. Only player to have scored more in Champions League is Raul, 71 in 142. I think he's slightly got the ratio on him, though. Messi scored in 5 successive Champions League appearances now as well. 8 goals, that's the first time in his career. He's only 3rd in the top scorer list, by the way, though. Ronaldo's got 13, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has got 10, then Messi's got 8, Costa's got 7, and Lewandowski's got 6. He's already Atletico's top scorer in Champions League history, by the way, Diego Costa. So just to recap on the game, you're going for a draw at 3-1. The score draw is 4-1, by the way.
I would go 1-1.
8-1. Yeah. And Derek,
well,
you're...
Is there any 8-1? Yeah, go on.
Derek, you're on it.
I think it's too big a price. I think they've skewed the prices here, definitely.
Wednesday night, Paris Saint-Germain take on Chelsea. The first leg for the Blues is in France. 21-20 PSG to win the leg. The draw is 11-5 and Chelsea are 14-5. To qualify, Chelsea are odds on 5-6, and it's exactly the same price for PSG at 5-6. Of course, PSG led by that man I just mentioned, second in the top scorer list with 10 goals so far. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, they're a mile ahead in the French Ligue 1. They haven't been scoring too many goals of late. They've dried up a little bit. They've won the last three games, 2-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah.
Chelsea, fresh from a rocket again from their manager, Ron. When you look at their away form, full stop, Chelsea, they've only won one away game in any competition in the last six games, and then went to Fulham. They lost at Villa, lost at Palace, drew at Galatasaray, lost at City, and drew with West Brom. They need a draw here, minimum, don't they?
They do. I mean, I'm fancying PSG, to be fair. I am. I might be fancying it. The only thing that gets you on this one is whether you'll go and set up. I always think Mourinho is better setting up teams to not get beaten.
Yeah.
You know, I never over fancy the Chelsea format when they have to make the game. But when they can go and sort of frustrate and deny and whatever. But I think PSG, I'd fancy PSG to win this one.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of this bulletin, Chelsea being the only team that you could back because of the prices to win the league. I don't think they will. And the reason is I'm just looking at the Chelsea team now. And with Hazard maybe a little off the boil and Oscar seem to have vanished, I'm just looking where their threats are. And they're not there, are they? And, you know, where they're weakest, i.e. up front, that's where Paris is strongest. You know, they've got the anteater up front. And then they've got Lavezzi, Cavani. I mean, these are names that could get and walk into Chelsea's side. But Ron's right. That's the reservation about backing PSG at odds against. It's that Chelsea could go there and just set up for, you know, a 0-0, because that's what Mourinho does best.
Because they'll have him back. Ramirez will play in the game.
Yeah, he'll definitely play.
And Will I Am, I suppose, he'll be playing.
Whether he might even
throw the Mikel in midfield as well.
He wants to leave, apparently. I was reading today. He wants to leave Chelsea.
Mikel?
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. I think if they can get good dough for him, I think that would be... I don't think he'd be a great loss.
I'm going with you, Ron. I'm going to go for the Parisians here. I think they're well worth a bet to beat Chelsea.
I mean, we talked about them. We talked about the front player. Don't forget, they've got Cabaye as well. Yeah. Who can score a goal.
Yeah. Thiago Silva's out, I think. That's a bit of a blow. I think he got injured at the weekend.
Who?
Thiago Silva.
Is he? I'm going to go for a narrow. I'll go for an odd goal. Paris win.
Yeah. Well, 1-0 is 11-2. 2-1 is 8-1. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score is 10-11, so still odds on to score here. Obviously he's on everything that they get around the box. Interestingly enough, Chelsea have not conceded a first half goal in any of the last nine Champions League matches, and you could see that happening again. I mean, if you could maybe make an argument for the draw at half time and Paris Saint-Germain to win by full time, if that's the 4-1.
We wouldn't be opposed to that, because he's definitely game plan will be going. He ain't going to go to the sound of the trumpets, that's for sure.
No.
He's going to go out and make sure they don't, particularly after the Crystal Palace match.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to make sure the one thing he does do, to be fair to him, he certainly dokes him in a stick. Torres always seems to play better in these games than he does in the Premiership, doesn't he? He seems to be better equipped to play in Europe.
Mm.
Whether he'll find more space, I don't know. But I still fancy Paris PSG 2-1.
Yeah.
Sorry, 1-0. Odd goal. I don't know if you can have an odd goal win.
Yeah, you can. You can actually have the odd goal win. Paris Saint-Germain to win by a goal is 13-5, so just a bit bigger than 5-2.
Yeah. I think I'd have them to win by an odd goal.
Derek, you're just going for the win.
The win outright,
21-20. Real Madrid take on Borussia Dortmund on Wednesday night. 4-11, Real Madrid at home. Draw 7-2, Borussia Dortmund 8-1. To qualify, Real Madrid 1-5, and Borussia Dortmund are 100-30. I think a lot of people have just been waiting for Borussia Dortmund to drop out of this competition. This might be the time they do it. Nowhere near the team they were last season, when, of course, they got to the final. The third in the Bundesliga on 52 points. Remember, Bayern have won it already, and they're on 77, so even Schalke are ahead of Borussia Dortmund.
No, I don't think they are now, Lee.
That was before the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah,
sorry.
Second now, Dortmund.
Second in the table. What about this one? I mean, Real Madrid have just a lot of people really fancy them to win the whole thing Derek, don't they? So there's not many reasons to doubt that. Had a little bit of a slip up in the league, didn't they? Obviously they lost to Barcelona in that fabulous game, and then they lost the next game, but then at the weekend smashed five past Rayo Vallecano with
count those kind of games.
Good warm up, and Bale got a couple as well.
You know, they're getting rave reviews, but they're actually third in the Spanish league.
3 points behind Atletico now, aren't they?
Yeah. Two ways of looking at this. Firstly, that you say that Borussia, these two teams met four times last season in Europe.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Dortmund, they came out on top, didn't they? They finished up 3 points above them in the group, and then they got to the final by beating them in the semi, you know, two legs in the semi-final. But a year's a long time in football, isn't it? Because now Dortmund are unrecognisable. I mean, they're 20-odd points behind Munich. And then you look at the other side of the coin. Madrid went to Schalke, who were just behind Dortmund, and pasted them 6-0 in Germany, didn't he, in the last round? So, you know, there's a bit of form to get hold of there. Are Dortmund any that much better than Schalke?
I'll tell you what, Derek. If at the time, that time when they played Schalke, they played Dortmund, you'd have been lumping on Real Madrid. Lumping on them. I just think they've just... Those last two results prior to Sunday, they just concern you a bit. You think, have they, you know, they threw away what looked to be a winning lead in the in the league, didn't they? You looked at that and thought, oh, they're not done and dusted, but they're on the way. Now they're playing catch-up again. I'll just about go for Madrid. But see, the home, if this had been the away match, I wouldn't be going for them. But I think the home advantage... Oh, the season almost hinges on this because I can't see them overhauling them two at the top now. So I think this, and they were my tip to win it, so I'll stay with it, but nowhere near as confident as I was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Both teams have score looks now. The traders have got it at 13-20, Derek.
Well,
last three of Real Madrid's home games in the Champions League have featured both teams scoring. Last four of Borussia Dortmund's have featured that as well.
I'm just looking at the odds for this game, Lee. I mean, Madrid are a little bit on the short side, aren't they? But I just don't see Dortmund as being any kind of team. I mean, Zenit were much better. Zenit nearly knocked them out in the last round. I'm going to go for... rather than back Madrid at odds on, because I hate backing odds on losers, I'm going to back Real Madrid minus two goals at 11-5. Right, I think this could be a comfortable win for them.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Ron, what are you going for?
I'm going for Real Madrid to win. Obviously, and you couple that up, if it makes any difference, with Ronaldo on the score sheet.
Yeah. Ronaldo to score in a... it'll be one of the headline offers, so they'll probably enhance this a little bit by the time the game kicks off. But at the moment, Real Madrid to win and Ronaldo to score is 4-9. Wow. Yeah. Crazy. No English involvement in Europa League, of course, but all the odds are available. Alkmaar versus Benfica, Lyon versus Juventus, the favourites, Basel versus Valencia, and Porto versus Sevilla. Some good games to get stuck into on
Thursday night. See, if that had been a knockout competition now, you'd start thinking, that's well worth looking at, isn't it? I know it's knockout now, but you'd have got a lot of games like that if the whole thing had been knockout.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they need to change it, don't they?
Into Europa, Continental, Zenith Data, windscreen wipers.
They do need to change it in some form, don't they?
Knowing that Platini, in the end, he'll have every team that doesn't get relegated will qualify for a European league.
Oh, they could go in the League of Nations now.
Man United's only hope that, Ron, by the way.
On that, we'll finish for the day. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Derek.
Cheers, boys.
Speak to you before the weekend.